Because He lives, we can all face tomorrow. But we should be thinking and considering today as well. God has been good to us once again. He has blessed us and He has brought us from where we started out to where we're at right now. God is still very much so in charge. He always was and He always shall be. This morning, I realize the timing of the year that it is, but if you came for a message about Jesus' birth, you came to the wrong place. Because I can start out by telling you the truth that Jesus was not born on what we call Christmas Day. So we must learn to accept the facts of the Bible. We must learn to know the truth, and that's what we're going to talk about, knowing the truth about life. Let us go take a moment and go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that You have blessed us and privileged us to be able to come out to Your house to serve Thee once again in spirit and in truth. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that You have given us the ability to reach out to one another and be Christian brothers and sisters. We thank You this morning for this local congregation here, and we pray for the leadership here as well as the membership. We pray for both leaders and their both the leadership and their families, as well as the membership and their families also. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that because You died and because You live, we can also live with You one day in heaven if we live right here on earth. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all that You do for us, and we're praying for those this morning that may be under the weather, the sick, the shut in, those who may be in a hospital bed, those may be at home not feeling well, and we pray for those who may be behind prison bars also. We pray for those who are fighting wars all around this world, and we just pray that You would soon bring them home safely and securely. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, and pray for strength for those families out on the East Coast who are going through their troubles and travails right now. We just pray, O Heavenly Father, that all would be well with them. We thank You right now, Heavenly Father, for the day that Christ was born, whenever it was. We just thank You in the name of Your Son, Jesus. We continue to pray and ask all of these blessings. Let us all say, Amen. This morning, I'll apologize once again. If I told Brother Oscar if he heard one scripture and I said one thing, then I'll apologize to Brother Oscar. But I know that the text was coming from James. But Brother Oscar, since he did such a fine job of teaching in Bible class, you're exonerated, Brother Oscar. So let us remember each other, and let us remember all of those who are standing in the need of prayer, all of us are in the need of prayer, and all of us are in the need of God being on our side. We'd like to thank Brother Wiggins for leading our song services this morning. We know that when he hits town, he's going to be here to do our song service. So let us get started, because I'll tell you right now, I don't have a watch. I forgot it. But I don't plan on being very long this morning. But from the book of James, chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, the subject is knowing the truth about life. According to the calendar, this is the time of the year when we are all supposed to be in a festive mood. We should be happy and joyful according to society. I read a report recently that said, should give pause to all of us. It says, during this time of the year, people are more likely to die on Christmas Day than any other day of the year, followed by the day after Christmas, and New Year's Day takes third place. So we need to be careful. So the newspapers, the radios, and everybody tells us that we are not to get all stressed out. And we seem to get stressed out around this time of the year. With all the things that we do around this time, we realize that God can call us off this earth any time of the year. But again, I guess our stress levels are so much higher during these days. We eat too much. We put up with relatives and family members. Not only do we not like some of them, but we haven't seen some of them since last year at this time. We give gifts that we can't afford to give. We spend money that we don't have. And yet, we're supposed to be joyful. Some of us have just finished paying off last year's debt in August of this year. And here we go right back into it again. But learn to be careful around this time of the year, because no matter what they tell you on Market Street, you still got to live on Main Street. So this time of the year, we must learn to accept what God has given us. And we give those gifts, we get gifts, and we give them to people that we don't even like. We even got into now what we call re-gifting. The tie you gave me last year, I don't like it, so I'm giving it to somebody else this year, in other words. If you celebrate Christmas. If you have any idea, we don't have any ideas of where we're going to be going tomorrow without God. This report also warns us of not getting too stressed out by the season. It tells us to, or the media tells us to take a breath, step back, and most of all, ask God for His guidance before you do things. Learn to accept the things which we cannot change and embrace our time here on this earth. But also prepare for the day shall come when none of us will have any time left on this earth. This time of the year we are warned by some of the same people who tell us to spend money like there's no tomorrow. Spend, but be careful not to get stressed out. In other words, get here, buy here, no matter what the cost. But we are to be very careful that we do not lose sight of the Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let us look at our lesson today. The first truth I want you to know is about trouble. Except the fact that we don't have to look for trouble. Trouble shall find us. We don't have to go out seeking and finding and buying trouble, because trouble will come our way. Life has never been and will never be a big bowl of fruit. It's going to have some rotten fruit in that bowl somewhere along the line. We have been told in Job chapter 14 and verse number 1 that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. So trouble shall come our way. Some of us, we think that life should be particularly easy, should be easy for us, especially some young folk today. I've talked to young folk, and I hear some of what they're saying, and I don't totally agree with it, but I hear what they're saying. In their minds, their small minds, they are thinking, I can't wait until I grow up, get married, leave my folks' house, and then I'm going to live, find me a husband or a wife, and live happily ever after, much better than I live here with my parents. But I got some news for you this morning, young folk. How far from the truth is that? First of all, you must find someone that shares these same thoughts and values. And ladies, I may as well tell you, it ain't easy. It ain't always easy. Men, also, it's difficult to find young ladies who are sharing those same values and willing to meet you in the middle. Why, you may ask? I'll tell you why. Because too many times we have our own agendas. The wife has one agenda and the husband has another agenda. We think that we are going to come together in the middle, and I just may as well be honest and truthful with you. Love will not get you through all the trials and tribulations in this life. I don't care how much you love one another. When you go down to Jewel, they don't accept that. They do not accept, because he loves me, I can buy all these groceries. We've got to learn that God gave his life for us as a ransom for many, according to Matthew chapter 20, around verse number 28. God is the only thing that'll get us through this life. One day all of our lives shall come due, and the Bible lets us know that we need to prepare, for the time is coming. Just like it did. Do you remember the old story in Isaiah of Hezekiah? How that his time came and he needed, God told him to set things in order. I believe some of us, if we got word of that, how would we accept it? Some of us would probably laugh about it. Some of us would not take it too seriously, because we would say, that's just not the way things work in life. But some of us would simply say, God can't be telling me to get ready. I got too much time left in this world. But you don't know how much time you have left in this world. In Matthew chapter 16, around verse number 26, the Bible says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What would you give to change for your soul? And I'll tell you now, if you don't get your soul ready right now, it's not going to live and live and live with the Lord. You won't be able to substitute another soul for your soul. You must accept and you must accept and go with your own soul. And like I always tell you, I suggest that you prepare for it. I speak now from experience that one day that youth that you have now is going to change over. You're going to go from a young person to an older person. I speak from experience right now. I speak from experience. I know that age has caught up with me, and I'm pretty sure it's catching up with some of you as well. I used to be able to walk to the store. Now I have a problem sometimes walking to the car to get in the car to go to the store. I tell you, there's something, life does make a difference. And I'm here to tell you that it does make a difference of how you live your life. God calls the young as well as the old, so we all need to be ready. We all need to understand that we're not promised any length of time on this earth. And when you look at our text, look what it says in verse number 13. It says, go now, James 4 and 13. Go to now that you that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. But I like number 14 because number 14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know tomorrow. You have never met tomorrow today. You can't meet tomorrow today. You can only meet tomorrow tomorrow. You can only meet tomorrow when tomorrow gets here. And he says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanishes away. Oh, that vapor which is your life is going to one day just poof and it's going to be gone. So when I think about life, I remember sometimes that life is not ever going to be the same as it once was. Sometimes in our lifetime, our lives change for the worse for some of us. We get sick. Some of us get maimed and lame. Some of us can no longer carry our voices, will not carry us anywhere anymore. We can't allow our knees and our legs won't allow us to go where we used to go. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a good thing. But then when James said that it vanishes away, what does that mean? Well, God has left us in the dark concerning the future events of our lives and the duration of our lives. We only know what our intent to do on this day or that day or tomorrow. As our lives come due, God will let us know when it's time for us to go. He will call us home one day. And there's no way, no money, no fame, no fortune can stop us from meeting that day. When God calls us, we must answer. Our lives being as a vapor, we know that it shall rise, but suddenly it's gone away. So in our plans, we need to be sure that we say if it's God's will. For if it's not God's will, our tomorrow may not come. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, for you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. Not my plans that are in order, but God's plan that's in order for my life or for your life. Then we ought to remember that the truth is that we cannot determine our own destiny. We cannot control even what the next few minutes may bring or hold for us. We can turn to the right or we can turn to the left, but that's as far as we can go with our lives. We don't know what's on the other side of our day. We don't understand that. We don't see and seem to understand that without God, we would be nothing. Without God, we are nobody. But yet, We like to brag about what I am, what I have, who I am, and who I'm going to be. But I tell you something. James said it again. He said, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will. Remember to use the term, if it's the Lord will. When I tell you, I'll see you tomorrow, I should preface that with, if it's God's will, I'll see you on tomorrow. It is, our life is like that vapor that soon goes up and soon it disappears. We can learn that we are not to put too much confidence in our plan. But instead, we are to think and to remember what God has done for us. What God has brought us to be. What God is in charge of our lives. When we have come to realize this fact, that God is in charge of our lives, then we can understand better what life really means and what life is all about. We can understand how fragile life really is. Life is very fragile. You ever seen a package that comes to you with that sticker on it that says fragile? That means don't pitch this, don't throw this, don't step on this, don't handle this too rough because it's easily broken. Well, our lives are fragile too. Our lives are very fragile. And if we're not careful, we can break it. It can be broken. And once it's broken, sometimes you can't repair broken things. Sometimes you just have to live with a broken life and you have to learn. And that's when a lot of folk learn to call upon the Lord, when they have been broken, when the fragileness of their lives has come into play. We can't say what the next hour, the next week may bring. The answer is no, we don't control our lives. And like Hezekiah, man makes mistakes and he may turn his thoughts from prayers to pride, from faith to fear, from maybe I'll do this tomorrow. And he may even become like Hezekiah and start welcoming the enemy into his home. When you think about life, you ought to have a great memory. You ought to have a great impression on life. Life is very fragile. Life is life, and life we must learn to accept that God is in charge of all of our lives. And once we learn that God is in charge, we'll understand better. All I'm trying to show you is that God is going to call each and every one of us. He's going to call us one day, and we need to prepare. None of us who are living want to die, I don't think. But it's coming. Will it be around those 3 days that report said, Christmas Day, New Year, Christmas Day, the day after Christmas, or New Year? I have no idea. I have no idea. I can't give you any kind of clue as to when you're going to be called, because I don't know when I'm going to be called. And neither do you know when you're going to be called. It could be earlier, it could be later, but the 3 days I speak of are statistics. And you know how statistics can go. They can go right or wrong. We have the greatest number of people dying on those days. But it could mean that you may have many, many more days to go. And I'll just tell you, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Either way, our position should be that of not assuming that it can't be me because I'm not ready. You don't have to be ready. You don't have to be ready, but you are still going to go. Now, each and every day of our lives takes one tick of the clock away from us. One tick less to live. And I remember that reading that many folk have said that they're under an impression, they think that they're going to live forever. But nobody is going to live forever. I'm not just trying to tell you something, as I say, to scare you, but I'm trying to get you to prepare. And like I've told you many times before, I'm trying to get you to prepare now, because I can't prepare you when I'm standing before the Lord myself. I told you, don't even look my way, because I'm not going to have any compassion for you. I have the compassion for you now to tell you about it now. But when it comes my time, trust me, I'm going to be all for me. I'm going to be trying to get myself together. I'm going to be trying to take care of my soul. I'm going to be arguing with the Lord about my own soul, because I'm going to be standing before Him. The truth is, death shall come. When you read the obituary, you know, some folk get up in the morning and take the newspaper and go straight to the obituary page. They've told me many times, I've heard many of them say that they want to see if their name is in there. Well, I got some news for them. If your name is in there, you won't see it. If your name is in the obituary column, that means you are gone off of this earth. That means you can't read anymore. That means you can't pick up, you can't hear the news report of a person's demise. When you read those obituaries, when you read the obituary in Genesis chapter 5, where you look at all of those characters, and you will see that they all lived, many of them lived a long time, but they still had to meet the Terminator one day. The Terminator in verse 5 called Adam after 930 years. In verse number 8, he called Seth after 912 years. In verse number 11, he called Enos after 905 years. In verse 14, he called Canaan in 910 years. And then in verse number 27, the granddaddy of all was Methuselah after 969 years. And I bet none of them wanted to die. But they had to die. They had to meet their Maker just like you and I. And one day, just like you and just like those people, you and I are going to have to go our way too. And somebody may say that he or she lived, but he died. He died, and some of us are going to be asking the question upon our death when we get to wherever we are going to go. How come you didn't give me more time, Lord? I'll tell you something. Time is relative when you think about it. It's not how much time you have, but it's how you spend your time. It's not about did you live a long life, but it's about did you live a fruitful service life. How many of us have sat around remembering yesterday when at the drop of a hat, all of a sudden you realize, I can't live in yesterday anymore. Yesterday doesn't mean anything. Yesterday I could remember where I put my car keys. Sometime now I have to think about it. What did I do with my keys? Sometimes I have to ask myself, why did I come to the refrigerator? Why did I open this refrigerator door? And then sometimes you have to stand back and just take inventory of yourself. How have I been living my life? How has the Lord blessed me that I haven't blessed Him back with my service? How has the Lord blessed me that I'm still... Look at the text once again. For it says in verse number 14, for as you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth... Notice this part. That appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. You don't have long. You don't have long. And the one thing I can tell you about life is life is not certain. Life is not certain for any of us. I wish I knew what was going to happen to me. As a matter of fact, I'd like to know what's going to happen to me on this afternoon. But I'd like to know certainly what's going to happen to me on tomorrow. If I could read the future, and I can't. If I could tell myself that I would be here for X more number of days or X more number of years, I could prepare how to live my life. But we haven't been given that luxury. We only know that we got a few days and then we're going to be called home. The psalmist wrote in Psalms chapter 37 around verse number 25, I believe it is. He says, I've been young and now I'm old. And you ought to praise God if you're old now. You ought to be thankful to God that you have lived to get old. Everybody doesn't live to get old. He says, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. God will take care of you if you just live right. Do you see where I'm going with that? I'm going to just tell the young folk, thank God. I'm going to tell the old folk, you ought to thank God even more so. And I'm going to tell those that are middle-aged, just keep on living. And thank God that you can keep on living. But one day we're going to all have to answer the call of death. It'll be too late to go back and live our lives all over again. The truth about life is that while we are yet living, nothing is more important than the question that was raised in Acts chapter 16. The Philippian jailer asked the question, he said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? That's your only hope of getting out of this life alive. That's your only hope of living forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is, we must come to Jesus before the Lord comes for us. The truth is, we need the Lord because in life there will be troubles. We have nothing to control our own destiny, that we cannot control it. And certainly death is out of our hands. Yes, we can prepare for it, but we can't stop it. So I ask the question this morning as I bring this lesson, this message to a close. Are you ready to face the truth? Don't count on proving that, saying that I'll wait for tomorrow to change. We are not to boast of tomorrow. Know the truth, and it shall set you free. Know the truth, and it shall set you free. And sometimes we get all upset about things the way they go in this life. But I'll tell you something. Since you don't control your destiny in this life, why would you get upset? Since you don't control your life, we must count on a living God to handle our life's problems and our life situations. You know, you can get in a lot of trouble in life. You can get in so much trouble that you can't see your way out. Not only can you not get your way out, but you can't even see your way out. That's what you call when you start going through a storm. And when you start going through these storms, and I'll tell you something about a storm, they're gonna come. You may have just went into one. You may be just going out of one, or you may be waiting for one to occur in your life, but it's coming. And when this storm comes, what are you going to do? How do you handle something that you're not set up to handle? I'll tell you how. You ask God to help you out of it. I'll tell you how you meet God. And some of you may not know God. Some of you may think you know God, but in reality, you may not know Him. Some of you may think, well, I can handle anything that God can handle, but you can't. Some may think, well, without God, I'll make it all right, but you can't. Some may even say to themselves, I can do just the same as what the Lord can do. And no, you can't. You've got to know the truth about life. Life is here for a short while, and then it's gone. So you got to prepare while you're here living. And I could tell that there are some who consider life only when they get to a point of age has crept up on them and they can no longer get around like they used to. Then they become very, very religious. But see, I'm not going to say it's too late, but it is kind of late. But I'm not going to say it's too late because as long as you're living, God can still work with you. God can still work with your soul and you can save your soul. How do you meet this master, this man of all help, this man who can get us through life? Well, you come to Him by hearing the gospel, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And I always say that if you've already done those steps, but somewhere you walked astray and you walked out on the Lord, because the Lord doesn't walk out on us. You walked out on Him. You decided that I don't need Him anymore. He has put my foot on solid ground, but now I'm going from solid ground to shaky ground when I walk off from the Lord. When I walk on shaky ground, I don't know what's going to happen in my life, and I have no one to call upon. But when I'm on solid ground, I know who I can call upon. I know who my Savior is. I know whom I can trust. I know whom I can get relief from. But when you don't know the Lord, that's when situations become dire. That's when things get up on you and you can't shake them off you. Your wife or your husband doesn't want to act right. Your children don't want to act right. Every time you turn around, the school is calling or sending a letter saying, you need to come up here. And your wife or your husband, they just don't seem to want to talk to me anymore. I can't understand. I go out and I work hard, and when I come home, I go out after a little while. Well, maybe that's part of the problem. I'm not here to be a marriage counselor right now, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. You know, this is the time of the year when people become very unhappy. They smile, but they're not very happy, some of them. They're not very happy because they don't like the season that we're in. They're not very happy because they don't like themselves. But I tell you, if you trust in the Lord, He'll make things all right for you. He'll make things just the way it ought to be for you, for your life. God tailors each one of our lives, but we all must follow Him. We all must do what He asks us to do. We all must do and live our lives like He has prescribed for us. Now, some blessings He may have for you, He may not have for me. And some blessings He have for me, He may not have for you. But yet and still, God is still in charge. And if you want to know God, we're going to give you an opportunity right now as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.